Generation Ideas.
Next Generation Ideas.
Next Generation Ideas.
Hey, Gen Triple XL crew, hello again. Welcome to episode 4 of our relatively new podcast series, where we take a look at what ideas are shaping the world of brands, Web3, design, and society. It's a podcast for thinkers, creators, brand leaders, and entrepreneurs, and anyone who's interested in what tomorrow looks like, anyone who wants to be part of the next generation. It's about and for people who pave the future. The evolving landscape of our society is fast moving, so we try to simplify that change for you so you can stay ahead of the curve and keep on top of the most cutting edge ideas. This episode is an interview with James Kirkup, who steers the ship at Design Studio and Open Understanding. He runs the studio solo, handpicking teams of designers to work on each of the projects that come his way. In this episode, James and Agley are discussing his work for Lowe that was selected for the brand cards for Carolite, frustrations and challenges in the design process from brief to final assets, how he guides his clients to develop their own identities through lateral suggestions, where inspiration comes from in his world, and why he thinks being authentic and true to your messaging about sustainability is important for brands to be part of the next generation. Stay tuned to hear from James Kirkup from An Open Understanding in episode 4 of the Gen Triple XL podcast series. I'm Tom, and it's great to be here with you again. Enjoy the conversation.
One-man studio called An Open Understanding, which is essentially just me in my house. On my own. But the idea of the studio is that I work alongside other people who work on their own, or tend to work on their own, sometimes teams, and I bring people into a project depending on what they do or whether they're right for a certain brief. So I basically kind of like hand curate teams for projects. Where there's a lot of the time I actually do just work on my own. So yeah,
okay.
That's the intro.
great. So we selected your project Lowe, right? Yes. For the new edition of the brand cards.
Yeah.
And it's a branding for a brand that kind of, from what I understand, that kind of encourages buying the second-hand furniture, right? So kind of tries to make that fashionable. Do you mind telling a little bit about that project, how you met the brand, and what was the whole idea behind the designs? Because they do have a little bit of this vintage feel to it, right?
But
yet very elegant and modern. So
that's the right answer. Well, number one, I mean, a lot of the clients that I work with in general, especially at the early stages of founding a studio, were friends or people that I kind of knew of who were doing things and needed a bit of help, and had quite low budgets to work with, and hence working with me was quite useful instead of going to like a bigger branding studio that they couldn't afford at that stage. So for instance, with the Lowe project, they needed to create an identity for their initial like funding round. And I work with a lot of small to medium-sized businesses who are at that stage where they either have something, they have some kind of an identity, and they need to develop it to make them look a bit smarter and like elevate them, or they have nothing at all and they need to start from scratch. Both of which are enjoyable ways of working. But with these guys, they had nothing. Apart from a kind of business deck where they were going to get funding for their business. And the joy of that project as well was that they didn't necessarily have much of a kind of creative brief. So it allowed us to kind of set that, which is also an amazing thing that doesn't always happen on a lot of projects where you kind of just get free rein to do anything you like. But in the way that, so with the studio, I kind of phase projects into three sections. So there's always like the first section is always this like setting the like creative vision for a project. Mm-hmm. With those guys, they were really into this idea of creating a very like luxury, like elevated brand experience. Mm-hmm. Even though their product was quite affordable, they wanted to try and talk to people who maybe had a little bit more money in their bank.
Yeah.
So that was the kind of overarching concept, is to really go very high end with their look and feel. Mm-hmm. And try and capture a market where, I think when you think of like the kind of like made.coms or the IKEAs, people like that, they're a lot more like accessible, mm-hmm. and maybe possibly a bit more friendly as well in their kind of tone of voice and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily the cheapest.
Yes.
So that was the kind of overarching brief for that project.
Okay. So what were the choices? Maybe let me just share the screen so we look at the work. So what sort of why did you choose the colors, or was that kind of the match with the sofa?
Well, I mean, admittedly, at the very early stages, again, because they had no photography of their products, mm-hmm. we had to kind of fashion a way of using stock photography that mm-hmm. gave them this overall kind of creative aesthetic straight away, so they mm-hmm. could almost launch without having spent any money. So that involved a process of going through and creating a lot of banks of stock imagery that we could use that also kind of felt in line with what they were mm-hmm. actually going to go and do. Mm-hmm. And we kind of reached this point where we had this bank of assets mm-hmm. that they're now using as the photographic direction to actually go and shoot their own imagery now that they've got that budget. Mm-hmm. And I think that is quite a common thing to happen when you're sure. working with those kind of startup sized businesses, is that mm-hmm. they have a small budget.
Yeah.
But they want something and they need that.
Yeah.
So this was quite a quick process actually, mm-hmm. in terms of finding those images. And then the link to the kind of juxtaposition of having like furniture against like natural elements,
yeah,
so they're going down this route of very handmade elements that kind of relate back to sustainability and the earth, and this whole like renewable source rather than buying new. So that was a kind of nod to that, and mm-hmm. it also looks great.
Yeah, I love it. It's really, like I already said, it has that vintage but very modern and slightly hipster style. So I think you did a great job. So you just worked on your own on this project, or you had somebody helping you out?
Yeah, so at first this was just me on my own. So we started with creating the logo type. Mm-hmm. and went through a few rounds of kind of where we should take that. Mm-hmm. And they really liked this whole idea of keeping like an elegance to the word mark rather than going down this kind of sans serif route, although there mm-hmm. are aspects of that in the project. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of luckily one of the first ideas that was developed. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of worked quite nicely.
This
one. But yeah, so worked on the word mark on my own and in the photographic direction, and then how all of those elements kind of come together. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the visuals that have gone out kind of online, like for instance these ones here, mm-hmm. Are obviously like visualizations of how they can develop their brand over the next kind of 18 months.
Yeah.
And that's what we're continuing to do now.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. So yeah, it's going to be also featured in the new edition of the brand cards that are coming out, I think, in November. We're a bit late with the printing, these days with deadlines, it's, you probably know that it's kind of
definitely
it's
no
an ever moving target. All right. So what would you say are your biggest challenges when working with clients? What is kind of that maybe frustration that keeps coming up that maybe you think, oh no, again?
I mean,
I was going
to say, in all honesty, I think the way that me working on my own works is that I have a really nice open relationship with clients. So the things that used to bother me when I worked in big studios, and it would be like the client hates it, let's do it again, that kind of doesn't happen so much. And I think the scale of projects that I work on allows that not to happen so much. There are obviously things that happen along the way that are sometimes frustrating, but there's nothing that can't be kind of worked out from just having a like an open understanding with the client. I think the way that, again, the studio kind of takes on projects, no project is ever the same as each other. They've all got different kind of nuances to them, but I think the way that they're structured now, the way that we structure a project, kind of allows for the details to be worked out at the very beginning. So nothing is kind of left till the end for someone to be like, why didn't we do this, or this isn't what we thought we were going to get. So hopefully that's
that's
a positive way of looking at it.
Yeah, but that's the nature of creativity, right? At the same time, you never know where you will end up. If it's too structured and too defined, then you don't leave space for some unexpected, beautiful occurrences, right?
Definitely. Yeah, totally. I mean, a lot of the things, I'd say probably like 50% of the projects we work on end up being completely different to what we maybe thought they would be. But in a good way most of the time.
I think that's also, I mean, as long as the client is okay to go down that flow, right, and is not so all, it's not too rigid, I think then the ride is really smooth and adventurous, right?
100%. And I think going back to that point earlier, a lot of the type of clients that we get, they're similar kind of characters to us in terms of, because we work with small businesses, they're often tend to be a younger set of people who are more kind of open to creative thinking, because we don't really work with huge brands who have lots of kind of
processes.
Exactly. Which is why I like working on my own, to be honest. In this format, for sure.
Great. So when the clients that you currently work with, they come to you, do they always have a particular sort of idea of where they want to go in the future, or is this something like, do you guide them to what could be the potential that they can achieve? Sort of usually the clients have like a very concrete idea, like how much are you involved in shaping up the future of the brand, at least from the idea side at the beginning?
Yeah, massively. I think a lot of the time, the initial kind of phase that we work in, this setting the creative vision phase, is that there's a lot of hand holding in there, kind of taking people through what they could become, like what they could look like. And sometimes we'll work with people who say, we want to look like these people, or we aspire to be like this brand. And I think one thing I learned from working in previous studios is to kind of show them completely other things that, although they're similar in ways, give them another way of doing things. Because I think some people can become They can think that's what they want, but actually there's loads of other things that they could become, and maybe they still go back to the same way, but yeah. And I think, again, that point of working with smaller businesses, a lot of people are kind of open to being shown what that could look like. Yeah, the possibilities, for sure. But that's not to say that there are also sometimes people who just say, I want to look like this, make me look like that. And sometimes that's right. You know, that's actually the way it should look and feel like. It kind of gives us a bit of an open floor to making people take a direction that they might not have before, or showing them a way of doing things that they might not have seen, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's fulfilling, right? You're really co-creating them then with them, yeah. Right? Yeah.
And I think it differs between like what type of work you're doing for that person. So for instance, like we've recently started doing a packaging job where we're not touching the identity that already exists. But someone came to us and says, I have this box, I need it to look cooler. And we were like, you know, have you considered using a different shape box or a different style of printing, or you know, all these other options that you could have considered. And that's now really kind of taken off and has completely changed the look and feel of how this whole project will hopefully appear in real life at some point.
Great. I think that's part of this job of us as creators, right? That makes it very fulfilling, is that opportunity to co-create and to really expand the possibilities and the horizons of our clients, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. That's my job.
Yeah. So how do you keep, so in order for us to do this job well, right, we have to always also keep expanding our own horizons, right, so we can inspire others. So how do you keep on top of what's happening in the world, and sort of where do you think is the next generation brand gonna be? Like, what should be that next generation brand thinking about? And from the way you see the world.
Wow.
Big question.
That's a good question. It's a hard question. Well, I think to answer the first bit first, in terms of a kind of keeping up with things, I guess things like Twitter and Instagram are my like main sources of kind of go-to.
Yeah,
I think when you kind of, you get to a place with those two networks where you follow the right kind of people, you hear about everything that's going on whenever you kind of dip in and out of those networks, you know? And they're both a kind of great top line source for information and misinformation, but yeah. And I think a lot of, I mean, like personally now at this stage, I wish I had more time to kind of read more articles and be more kind of allowing time for that. But yeah, the Twitter is super useful for that side of things. Then to answer the second part of the question, is that kind of, I guess, in a question back to you? Is that in terms of like what platform brands should be on, or where brands should be going?
No, it's more like what should they be thinking about, right, in order to be that next generation brand, right? Okay. I mean, it's, I understand it's a bit a hard question because it depends, right, and depends on the industry. But if we could identify some qualities that the next generation brand should embody based on where the world is going, and what do you think those would be?
I think a really interesting thing that I've found over the last couple of years is that nearly everyone that we get in touch with, or maybe we don't end up working with, everyone throws in the word sustainability mm-hmm. without really meaning it. Mm-hmm. That everyone now, you know, it's important to have that angle and that thinking in what you're doing, but are you actually doing it? You know, mm-hmm. by making more stuff, we're not necessarily being sustainable.
Yeah, totally.
But at the same time, maybe there are ways that you can angle your business to be a little bit more sustainable than others, you know. Mm-hmm. For instance, like two or three of our clients now who are fashion-based clients are doing everything in batches. So when a batch runs out, it runs out. Mm-hmm. They don't kind of mass produce more mm-hmm. stuff that just sits in the world and then goes in the bin eventually.
Yeah.
If they don't sell it, of course.
Yeah.
Things like that, like little things with packaging, like how can we be actually sustainable in that area? Like, there's a lot of companies out there now who are offering like compostable like items that disintegrate quicker than before, or mm-hmm. Packaging that you can plant, mm-hmm. things like that, and trying to get those ideas across, I think is something that's really important when taking on any new brand. Mm-hmm. I know there's obviously still people that, you know, they still have great ideas for their business that probably maybe just can't be that sustainable bar maybe their own footprint. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the most important things for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be my kind of main thing.
Great. So what are you working on at the current moment? Is there like maybe both client wise and maybe there's sort of a passion project at the time on the side?
I wish there was a passion project.
No.
The passion project is I guess the studio in general, kind mm-hmm. of the day to day running of that. I used to love doing side projects and things that were kind of outside of client work, as it were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess that's kind of now the overall studio. But in terms
that's wonderful. It's great to be living the dream, right?
Yeah, I guess that's it, right? I guess we've got that. In terms of we're just finishing up our kind of biggest projects of this year or our existence really for a studio who make the adverts for computer games, which again I didn't even realize this existed, but of course it exists. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be really exciting. So we've done kind of everything for them, and we're launching it all at the same time. So mm-hmm. the new brand identity, a new website, new stationery, new signage. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. That's going to be our kind of first big project that we can
Great.
Talk about.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. And yeah, let's stay in touch. It would be great to see where you are heading next.
For sure. Thanks so much for the questions and the time. Next Generation Ideas.